Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised after all. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you have felt the freight train of critical race theory. You've heard presentations done. Perhaps your pastor has even preached on it. I hope so, because it is pervasive these days. It has infiltrated Western thinking to the degree that I believe critical race theory is one of the worldviews that has filled the hole that was left when Christianity started to abate. We are living in a post-Christian world, and the world still desires, however, to have its thinking informed by something. What has won the day? What is the predominant worldview that is informing so much of the major events in our culture? I grant you, there are many others, but vying for top spot has got to be critical race theory. You are hearing it everywhere. And if you and I are not aware of that, we are going to continue to watch news, read stories and articles, and go, gee, what's going on? What's going on is a worldview that we were told but months ago is too complicated for mere mortals to comprehend. You can't articulate what it is. It's too academic. And yet, in just a matter of months, because we have been beaten like a speed bag by critical race theory, I think most of us can define it in a sentence. It is a Marxist worldview that positions everyone as either an oppressor or an oppressed person due to systems that are systematically racist. For the purpose, it's a long sentence, it's kind of a Pauline sentence, for the purpose of keeping one people group down so that the oppressor group can remain in power. Okay, a little bit rambling, but that's what critical race theory is. It did start in academic circles, specifically law schools. It was critical law theory. Some schools adopted it, others did not. But now we are seeing it outside of academia, and we are seeing it all over the place. And frankly, we shouldn't be surprised. Prepare to hear a movie clip from 42 years ago. 42 years ago. These concepts of critical race theory, oppressor, oppressed, intersectionality, identifying as whatever you want to, all of these concepts were actually presented on the big screen, a movie I never watched because even when I was a pagan, I thought it was too blasphemous. I think this is The Life of Brian from Monty Python. This was sent to me at idea@wretched.org. And I listened to it and I went, oh, this has got postmodernism and critical race theory. They're cousins, by the way. Critical race theory written all over it. Why didn't we see this coming? Why didn't we stop and go, hey, where these wacky ideas, where'd they come from and where are we going? Because this is not the only clip I've ever seen from decades ago. This was being foisted upon us in the 90s via sitcoms, specifically cartoon sitcoms. These ideologies of the oppressor people, white folks, oppressing the oppressed people, black folks. There was a cart. I was flipping by the CNN, and it had something about sitcoms. And I went, "What is CNN doing with sitcoms? I mean, other than their regular daily news sitcoms that they have." It was some sort of a special on the history of sitcoms, specifically animated sitcoms. And they were showing cartoons from the 90s I'd never heard of. I don't know how I missed these, but apparently they were popular. And in several of them, you heard wafts. That's right, wafts of the worldview that we now know as critical race theory. And yet this snuck up on us, didn't it? And it shouldn't have if we'd just maybe put two and two together courtesy of Monty Python.
Any anti-imperialist group like ours must reflect such a divergence of interests within its power base.
Agreed. Francis? Yeah, I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Rich, provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister. Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb.
42 years ago, critical race theory was making its way into popular culture. It was satirized 4 decades ago. But now, that worldview that somebody in Monty Python had to observe has become, I believe, one of the dominant ways for our society to process news stories and events.
Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry.
What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
This movie couldn't be made. I bet they don't air this. I bet you won't find this on cable TV anyplace. This is too dated. This is too oppressive, even as it mocks the entire concepts that the accusation is predicated on. This would not be shown today. There are a lot of movies like that. Have you seen any reruns of MASH lately? Corporal Klinger might be one of the reasons why we're not. What happened? Critical race theory is what happened, and we should not have been shocked. What do we do with that, might I suggest, without trying to become prophets, without being Orwellian futurists? We should be watching trends. And when you hear something repeated, even in a not a very mature form, just start imagining, where could this go and how could it get into the church? Because it has gotten into the church. Recently, a controversial article appeared in the Gospel Coalition describing Kyle Rittenhouse as being an armed mass shooter. A lot of people called for that article to be pulled. Gospel Coalition apparently doesn't have a problem with it because they left it up because the fellow who wrote it is actually on the board of directors of the Gospel Coalition. And it, while it wasn't full-blown CRT, it certainly did have an awful lot of similarities, a lot of very kind of vaguely referenced words without using the words that we've come to identify with critical race theory. And that's inside of the Gospel Coalition. One wonders, this will be interesting to watch. One wonders how long the coalition can coalesce when you have got something that is built to divide, which is critical race theory. Are there any worldviews that we are seeing today in their nascent form that are perhaps starting to bubble up? Yeah. Yeah, actually we are, regularly. How's about sexual issues? I'm talking about things like pedophilia and bestiality. There are enough hints that those conversations are taking place, even at TED Talks, to downplay how awful pedophilia is. I would suggest to you that's one worth watching, because it will probably just be a matter of time, like CRT took a few decades to become more and more popularized. Watch for signs. Watch for news stories that cause you to scratch your head, because most likely there is an anti-biblical worldview behind it, and it is just a matter of time before enough fertilizer is put on that terrible seed that it will sprout up and grow its rotten fruit, which is precisely what we have seen with critical race theory. Wow. Never thought I'd say this. Thank you. Thank you, Monty Python, for being ahead of the curve. This is Wretched Radio. You are a pro-life Christian, which is redundant, who happens to be frugal, which is unnecessary to point out because that's what we Christians are, frugal, and you would like to support a life ministry that stewards your money well. Some great news from Preborn Ministries. They have saved 169,000 babies' lives. What is their secret? Ultrasounds. 80% of the time a woman sees her baby, she chooses life. Right now, Preborn has a matching grant. $28 per ultrasound turns into two ultrasounds. Or for $140, you can sponsor five ultrasounds, but because of the match, you'll be saving 10 babies. The ideal time for you to support a life ministry who's going to steward your money well. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, #250, keyword baby, or visit preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for joining us on Wretched Radio today. 2021 has been the best yet here at Wretched. We rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released, Wretched Worldview hit the streets, Solving the God Puzzle became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. Not to mention, information like Wretched Radio to date can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV seen on over 135 Christian TV networks. And none of this would have been possible without our gospel partners. So during this year-end season, I would like to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We have lofty goals for 2022, such as the releasing of a new documentary series called Transformed, which highlights the life-changing power of biblical counseling. But we need your support. So visit wretched.org/donate. There you'll find answers to any question you might have regarding becoming an ongoing monthly Wretched gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are living in a critical race theory world, and I am An oppressor. This is Wretched Radio. The critical race theory worldview. It seems to be the most popular, trendy worldview that is making its way through every level of our society. You and I are seeing it everywhere, including inside of Christian organizations. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a slew of recent stories. And they should have all had the same headline. This is the result of critical race theory. Don't know if you remember this, but 4 years ago, something like that, when critical race theory was first beginning to show itself in its full form, and by the way, not just in its full form, but in better shape than it ever was, because the worldview started out kind of flabby, and it wasn't working. It wasn't gaining as much traction as CRT theorists wanted. So what did they do? They refined it. They exercised it. They trimmed off the fat. And now it is a lean, mean, horrible worldview machine. And it has made its way even into the church. I grant you, the Salvation Army has put out a denial statement. And yet, it appears that almost everybody is confirming Salvation Army wants white donors to offer sincere apology for their racism. That's from the was that Gateway Pundit? Yep, that was Gateway Pundit, but I think it was Ben Shapiro's organization that first broke the story. The Salvation Army's Alexandria-based leadership has created an international social justice commission, which has developed and released a resource to educate its white donors, volunteers, and employees. It's called Let's Talk About Racism. That, by the way, is one of the weapons of critical race theory: stories, conversation. You've got to hear the story because the anecdote, no reason to believe it's not true, supports critical race theory. There's no other explanation for why that happened. It had to be because somebody was an oppressor oppressing the person. And so when you hear enough of those stories, you start to be persuaded. Maybe that is the way our society is structured, that we've got an oppressor and an oppressed people group. Salvation Army apparently thinks so, too. It asserts Gulp Christianity is institutionally racist, calling for white Christians to repent and offer a sincere apology to blacks for being antagonistic to black people or the culture, values, and interests of the black community. That's CRT. Simple as that. That is CRT. What was once an academic theory is now being used as a training manual at the Salvation Army. How long will the Salvation Army stay intact? I would once again ask. I don't know that it's going to be too long. Do you? How can an organization stay together when they have invited something that is divisive by structure and nature? I don't think that it can. I wonder about the Gospel Coalition. When is it going to just go? I looked at the board of directors of the Gospel Coalition, and you have got guys who are against critical race theories, and you've got guys that are to varying degrees for it and very for it. They can't get along. They just can't. Because as critical race theory becomes increasingly aggressive inside of the church, You just can't have people who are opposed to this Marxist ideology coexisting with somebody who does. It doesn't work. And that's intentional, because that's what critical race theory is. Many have come to believe that we live in a post-racial society, but racism is very real for our brothers and sisters who are refused jobs and housing, denied basic rights, and brutalized and oppressed simply because of the color of their skin. That's from a lesson at the Salvation Army. Sad that this needs to be injected, but if there is any sort of oppression, if there are any redlining laws that still exist, I'm not aware of any, but if they're there, would you not join me in decrying them and saying, they gotta go? There is not a born-again Christian who would go, yes, let's just keep oppressing people. Let's have laws that make it difficult for those guys to advance. There is not a born-again Christian who feels that way. And if there is, they need to do some repenting. Somebody who is ongoing racist, and I mean racist, not they don't know they're racist, but they are, even though they don't express it. I'm not talking about critical race theory kind of racism. I'm talking about somebody who really does believe that there is a particular people group, their own, that is superior to another people group, not their own. That ongoing sin should be dealt with, just like ongoing adultery, ongoing pornography. This should be church discipline business. That is the attitude of the genuine Christian. And so this lesson from Salvation Army is saying that all of these things still exist. There is an urgent need for Christians to evaluate racist attitudes and practices in light of our faith and to live faithfully in today's world. Guess what? I can live with that sentence. It's the sentence that preceded it that's the problem. Of course we should look inside of ourselves to see if we have any racist attitudes. Are you not willing to do that? We all are. We don't want to. That's just not loving. It's pride-filled. It's blasphemous because it's an assault against God's beautiful design in variety. Racism is a terrible sin. And I don't know of a Christian who isn't willing to do this. Salvation Army seems to think we need to start teaching this to all of our people because white donors need to offer a sincere apology for their racism. Whew. One wonders how that's going to do for their bell-ringing efforts this Christmas. Story number two, the Kyle Rittenhouse response. The young man was found not guilty on five charges brought against him for a shooting that took place. Yeah, I'm getting my Wisconsin towns confused. Waukesha, that's where the, what are they calling that? It's not a guy who drove a speeding vehicle through a crowd of people. I think they're calling it vehicle violence, something like that, you know, like gun violence, because it's not people who kill people. It's the gun that kills people. I think the good news out of this, and at least the world is being consistent, apparently in Waukesha, they have petitioned Madison, which is the capital of Wisconsin, to pass some stricter SUV laws. Make sure that truck violence doesn't continue happening. Kyle Rittenhouse found not guilty, and the world, many people, not all, many people thought, okay, that appears to have been justice. A lot of people are going, nope, that's just another demonstration of a white system designed to protect white people. Where does that response come from? Critical race theory. Catholic University painting, specifically the Catholic University of America, has put up a painting, I think, in their law school. It's, if you've ever been to the Vatican, you have seen perhaps what I believe to be the most gorgeous sculpture on the planet. I think it far surpasses the David statue, which I think is totally inappropriate and very platonic in its presentation of the naked king of Israel. The Pietà in the Vatican, you walk in, room to the right is this glorious, this marble statue of Mary holding the dead body of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that it's very Roman Catholic in its inclination, but you can't help but marvel at the beauty of it. The Catholic University did a painting, but it wasn't Jesus in the arms of Mary. It was George Floyd.
There's two paintings.
Two of them.
One in the law school, as you said, the other in the churches or the university's church ministry office.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Let's put it in the church ministry office.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now, the university is saying, no, that's not what it is. Unfortunately, When asked whether the painting is of George Floyd or Jesus Christ, the artist has replied, yes. This Floyd called out for his mother in a viral video that showed him die under a police officer's knee. And so she swapped Jesus for George Floyd. The university, this is just rich. The vice president of communications responded, the icon Mama is a Pietà depicting Mary and her son Jesus Christ. The statement continued, these are those who would like to see George Floyd as the male figure in the icon. That is not how we read it. Well, doesn't matter how you read it. That's what the artist intended. Why was it painted and why is it placed in two locations in a Catholic university? Thank you. Thank you, Critical Race Theory. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Oh boy, the state of Colorado just made themselves more attractive to criminals. Okay, well, maybe it's unfair to lump all criminals into one category for this particular story, because the state's doing away with the term sex offender because it has negative impacts on those who commit sexual crimes. And there is more to this story, I'll admit that, but it does get more absurd the deeper we get into it. So I'm just going to leave it here with this and let you decide if sex offenders, you know, rapists and child molesters, do you really care about how sad being labeled a sex offender makes them? Because I really don't, and I don't suspect you do either. Here's a novel idea. If you don't want to be labeled a sex offender, then don't commit a sexual crime. Seems fairly logical to me. But I'm not a liberal. I was burdened with common sense. And here's one that shouldn't come as a surprise to many of you. The company that's the wokiest of the woke, Disney, recently pulled an episode of The Simpsons. Now, I'm not so upset about that. They could pull the entire show for all I care. It's kind of trashy. But that's not this story. That's a discussion for another day. The episode Disney pulled was only on its Hong Kong platform, and it was an episode that mocked Chinese censorship. That's the line they draw. Disney, the king of woke, the champion of pronoun rights, they cower down to China and its commie dictator. Good job, Disney. Such a role model for us all. Well, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves went into a war zone yesterday. Okay, not literally a war zone, but pretty close. He was on NBC's Meet the Press, and the pro-life governor was in enemy territory when he pointed to biology and European law defending Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments this week that challenge the law. Reeves said, in Europe, of the 42 countries that allow elective abortion, 39 of those countries restrict abortion earlier than 15 weeks. He also explained how science supports the pro-life position. The arguments made to the Supreme Court are set to start this Wednesday, and of course, we will keep you up to date on any and all developments on that front. Jihadist Fulani herdsmen have killed 10 Christians and burned 100 homes in Nigeria. This all comes after U.S. Secretary Antony Blinken removed Nigeria from the State Department's Religious Freedom Watch list last week. The Biden administration has received a ton of criticism, and rightfully so, for the removal of Nigeria, as thousands of Nigerian Christians have been murdered in 2021 alone, nearly 50,000 since 2009, the year that Nigeria was first added to the list. But despite the political motivation behind the State Department's reason for removing Nigeria from this list, we all should be reminded to continue praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, one of America's fastest growing... Early too early. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare for one of America's fastest growing game sensations. What is God doing? That's right. Ooh, the numbers on this, they're just going right through the roof. What is God doing? As you and I go about the business of watching Western civilization basically crumble, like Rome and Greece and Mesopotamia before it, every one of the great civilizations comes tumbling down. And it would appear that the foundations of this culture, they're crumbling. And we read these stories constantly these days, and it can cause us to get a little bit bummed out. And I'm not sure that it's bad to be sad that the civilization that has produced the most human flourishing is now being attacked, assaulted successfully. Critical race theory, postmodernism, anti-Christian worldviews. We see story after story of things that 50 years ago would have been absolutely preposterous, and we might find ourselves moving from a correct mourning over the loss of a culture to being downright depressed. That's why we need to ask the question, what is the Lord doing? Is he not active today? Has God finished his work on the earth? Did God stop trying to lead people to his son so that he can be glorified for being the God of mercy and grace? Is all of that done when Revelation closed? No. It is still going on, and we do well to wisely, carefully, with restraints, consider what is the Lord doing. This is something that I think is missing in most church history books. I sure hope so, because I'm writing one right now, and that's kind of the premise. What is the Lord doing in this particular century? So that we cannot just learn about stories and dates and courageous people, theological debates, councils that took forever to conclude, and simply become a storehouse for data. No, we want to say, what was the Lord doing there? And it's unmistakable. I would suggest you, especially the first five centuries of church history, you can go, oh, this makes perfect sense. What did we see already in the New Testament? Skirmishes about basically two issues: Christology, Jesus Christ, who is he? By the way, the predominant view was they believed that he was God, no problem. The issue for the early church was, but could he be a man? How could God become flesh? What is he? It wasn't about whether Jesus is God. It was about whether Jesus was man, was a bigger question early on, along with soteriology. How is one made right with God? So the doctrine of justification, Gnosticism had made its way already into the church, and it was increasingly popular throughout the first few centuries. And it's made its way into the church. Hey, not unlike critical race theory, a godless worldview that makes its way into a body of believers, and then it goes about the business of spreading like kudzu. Gnosticism informed a lot of early church thinking. Christology, soteriology were the big issues of the day. And so doesn't it make sense as we look at the early church, the early councils? That's what they were dealing with. Furthermore, they had to come up with a codified Bible. There was a proliferation of vying competitors to be included inside of Scripture. And we had to get together and go, no, you're not in. No, you don't. Yes, you do. You do. No, you don't. Gospel of Thomas? No, you're not. Gospel of Peter? You're out of here. Didache? Close, but no cigar. We had to do those things. And so as we see early church history, it makes perfect sense that God was, now that his son had died, risen from the grave, the entire Bible was written. Now, certain things had to happen to make sure that we continued to follow the same playbook. And so we came up with what we know today is our New Testament, affirming those books as actually being inspired by God, dealing specifically in the early church with the two big ologies, theology about Jesus Christ and theology about salvation. That's what God was doing. What was going on in the church? Where was God? God was working everything together for his good pleasure, for his purposes, and for his plans. And while we do not have a book that continues to tell us exactly what God is doing in the world, if we fail at the very least baseline to remember God is doing something, he's doing something, well, I think we're going to be a miserable people. And we see that, don't we? It's hard these days to look at a government that seems to make every wrong decision possible. Just when you think it can't get any more bizarre, you see the government going and doing something where it just boggles the mind. What's God doing? He's got to be doing something. How do I know? Romans 13 tells me that governments are ministers of God. Huh. That's post-resurrection. Governments, God's institution for working out his purposes in the world. That is what he is doing with this crummy government. Building his kingdom, refining his church, purifying believers. Was just reading, where was that? I was just reading something, somewhere, about persecution and how it, oh, it's driving me bonkers. It wasn't the book that I read. I just finished a book on cooperation, biblical cooperation, teamwork. But that wasn't, I don't think, where I read it. I'll get back to you on the source of this. But it was in a very clever way stating persecution, it does something for Christians. It purifies. It leads us to repentance. God uses all of these things to accomplish the things that he has described for us that he is desiring to do in the Bible. Let's remember that, because otherwise you're going to read stories like the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, revokes religious exemption waivers for faith-based foster care providers in three states. Pretty self-explanatory, but HHS said that it would respond, that it would rescind, rather, waivers granted to faith-based child welfare agencies in Michigan, South Carolina, and Texas I either need to eat more carrots or keep my glasses handy. They said that they are rescinding these waivers in these three states that contract with the federal government. Oh, there it is. See, that's how they do it right there. And we can predict where this is going, can't we? Because these states, they said there's protection for foster programs, adoption agencies. You don't have to adhere to something that you do not believe in, like genders and sexuality. You have you can discriminate because you're a religious organization. Now the HHS is trying to parachute in and go, nope, nope. Now how are they able to do that? Ka-ching. Money. Follow the money. When the government provides money to an organization, that organization, in some sense, therefore, is beholden to the provider of the cash. Now, let's just think about all of the Christian institutions that receive money from the government via Pell Grants, student loan programs. Adoption agencies can get money because the government sees it as a force of good in our society, that kids have homes. If they're receiving money and they don't now adhere to the new morality of our critical race theory postmodern world, they just yank the funding. Hold on. Government ain't done yet. Who else gets money? Well, if you've got a wrong view of taxation, if you believe that it's the government's money that's in your bank account, then you are going to conclude that not making you pay taxes is actually robbing from the government. Totally wrong way of looking at taxes biblically. You own your stuff. It's yours. And God has allowed governments to tax, and we're supposed to render it unto Caesar even when we don't like it. But They're not giving us money by not causing a 501c3 religious organization to not pay taxes. But that's the way the world sees it increasingly. Hey, that money doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the government. Could it be that signs like this from the HHS could have implications for Christian universities, Christian ministries, and Christian churches? Hoofda. And if we fail to remember that even as we see what appears to be a noose tightening, you can take that metaphor as far as you choose to or not, that we better remember God is still working. God is still active. Jesus is still growing his church. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store and Wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to, is you. Seriously, because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints. Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
And yet one more reason to consider MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, 400,000 Christians strong and growing, sharing one another's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. The average family saves $500 per month. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. There's a teledoc service. That's a good reason to consider MediShare. How's about their approval ratings are double that of traditional health insurance? But how's about this? During the month of November, initiation fee waived. One more reason for you to discover if MediShare is right for you and for your family. Simply visit MediShare.com/wretched and take 2 minutes to call 1-844-34-BIBLE to see how much your family can save. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
2021 has been the best yet at Wretched, and I'm not sure I have enough time to even cover it all, but let's try. This year we rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released. Wretched Worldview hit the streets. Tom Hammond's newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. And that's just our big resource releases this year. We can't forget about our big move over the summer or the fact that as of today, Wretched Radio can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV can be found on over 135 Christian networks, our YouTube channel, almost 4 million hours watched this year alone, and none of this would be possible without our gospel partners. During this year end season, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? 2022 promises to be our best yet with our new documentary series, Transformed, set to be released, highlighting the life-changing power of biblical counseling. So visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321 to become a gospel partner today.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is God doing? A lot. This is Wretched Radio, story after story that cause concern for Christians, but we want to be careful we don't become nail biters. Henny pennies panicking about what's going on as the foundations crumble. No, we want to know that God is still working. He is still active, and he is building a kingdom. It ain't temporal. It ain't earthly. It is eternal. It is the church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints. That's what he's doing. He could be, even now, purifying the church. We'll see. Many pontificators have proclaimed, look out, because these churches that have been trying to placate culture by not speaking out very forcefully about social sins, don't worry. They're going to go after them too. And what will happen to a squishy church where suddenly the parishioners start to feel the pressure of culture, perhaps intimidation, loss of tax status, or loss of a job, or kind of a Chinese blackballed system where you get so many social points and you are looked down at? Why would somebody keep going to a church where it's just a silly center? They won't. Wait a second. I don't mind going to listen to some bad Van Halen knockoff opening worship music, but you want me to pay an actual price? Let's go, dear. We're going to become Masons or something else, and it could be a purification of the church. This might be a story that also purifies the church. Headline: more adults say they're not planning to have children amid declining birth rates. How's that going to affect the church? How is a low birth rate going to change Western churches, at least Western churches specifically? And I think there are some direct implications. When asked for a reason, over half, 56% of childless adults said they just don't want them. Oh, that hurts. Oh, they don't know what they're missing. Children, they're a gas. Yep, they're expensive too. Yep, they cause heartache. Yep, they cause some tears. But they're such a blessing. 56% of people who currently don't have children just don't want them. Man, I'm telling you, this is another sign of a post-Christian culture. Just consider the Christian attitude toward children. Go to a homeschool convention if you need proof. We like to have kids because we like kids because we see them as image bearers and somebody who can actually contribute and not destroy our society. Thank you. Thank you, Bill Gates. We believe that children are a blessing. The world? No. Consider work ethic. Why are we seeing a lack of people that desire to work? I think I recall it was 50-some percent. I saw the guy from Shark Tank. He was on Bill Maher's show because of some poll came out that said over 50% of people don't want to go. No, 50% of people want to quit. They want to be out of their job and they want to work at home. What happened to the Protestant work ethic? Oh, yeah. Protestantism is abating. And so is the work ethic view that goes with it. And this is just one more sign. The other 43% cited other reasons, including medical issues, finances, not having a partner, climate change, and environmental concerns. Well, hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, but I was going to come to your house to help you with that project you got going on, but I can't. I'm so worried about the temperature.
You're going to be too cold?
I fear the oceans could be sneaking up on us, so I can't. Uh-huh. I can't help out this weekend.
What about next?
Same thing. It's getting warmer. Colder. No, wait. It's changing. It's the climate's all changing.
Okay. I'll find somebody else.
When it comes to parents who say they're unlikely to have more children in the future, 63% said because they just don't want to, especially dads. Between 2000 and 2019, the number of daily births declined an average of 0.4% a year. That's scary. The average number of daily births in 2020 was 4.06% lower than in 2019. A May report from the Center of Disease Control, Prevention National Center for Health Statistics, found that the birth rate and fertility rate in the U.S. fell to historic lows in 2020. We're not replacing ourselves. What are the implications for the church? God is not unaware of this statistic, is he? It is, you're If you're a church, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a bad thing, but if you're a church that has only experienced growth because your members have babies, you can look forward to your church not growing as fast. Furthermore, if you're a church that feels the benefits of children becoming adults who then hopefully get married and have children and start thinking maybe we should return to church, if they don't have kids, they're not going to have that mechanism, and they're not. It is not hard to imagine that the local church is going to suffer as fewer and fewer people are being born. I can't recall the statistic, but it's shocking. Most people profess Jesus Christ before the age of 18. If we aren't making more of those, you're going to see churches shrinking. What should you do if you don't want your church to get smaller and smaller? Here's just a wacky idea. And I got this. Okay, it's from the Bible. But rather than waiting for people to come or turning your church into an entertainment venue that beckons people to come and have a good time with some life lessons, go and make disciples. Go and start evangelizing people who aren't 0 to 18. Start becoming an evangelistic church, not relying on people returning to church, not relying on people to have babies, but by making disciples. Make them and then disciple them. Biden bill forces faith-based childcare to affirm LGBT ideology or lose federal funding. There's another one where you wonder, what's God doing? He's doing something. He ain't doing nothing. Long before that this story was printed by Christian headlines, God ordained this to happen. Faith-based childcare, you affirm our ideologies, or you just lose your federal funding. India, over 50 churches stop holding worship services after authorities impose ban on Christian gatherings. Is Jesus unaware? Is God not working in India? What was the... Jimmy, I don't know if you covered this in your news. There was a country, I wonder if I've got it here. There was a country, one of the majority Muslim populations, that Christianity is now like 10%. It's like, whoa! Don't forget, just because we see bad things happening in our culture, it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't growing his church. Dozens of churches in India were not allowed to hold worship services for a third consecutive Sunday after authorities imposed a complete ban on Christian religious gatherings at the behest of the Hindu nationalist groups. Woofda. How should a church in India respond to that? They might be willing to shut down for a day or two as they kind of figure things out. But this would be one of those instances where the government, even a violent, aggressive one, we have to obey God. We cannot forsake the assembling of the saints. We need to be gathering. It is good for us. And it's a command. So we must obey it. And if the government says, no, you can't obey it, then we have to respectfully tell the government, we're going to be meeting anyway. Or practice discretion, don't tell them and meet anyway. This is an issue that increasingly churches are facing, not just in India, Australia, Canada. We saw it in America until that, what is the name of that church? That Grace Community Church decided, no, we can't obey Caesar on this one. We have to obey the King of the Church, Jesus Christ. And what is God doing with it? The answer is, I don't know exactly. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you he's doing this so that, but I can tell you that he is active in the world today. And his focus is not so much on the issues that tend to concern us. He has a much bigger eternal concern. It is his desire to see people saved. I was just reading Ezekiel. By the way, if you're looking for a Bible verse that affirms the resurrection, if you're a Sadducee, Isaiah, just stumbled across this, Isaiah 24:19. I saw Isaiah 24, 4 or 6 was put onto a swing on a porch on one of those Home and Garden TV shows. So I looked it up to see how wacky it was. It was perfectly fine. And I read the whole chapter. And verse 19 of chapter 24 of Isaiah is all about the resurrection of the dead. That's what God is busy doing. Building his kingdom. Growing his church. Don't grow weary. Don't be discouraged. Let's get on his page and go. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.